you all know, we're going to be moving out of the area, and I've had the privilege of not just seeing Chick in a church environment, but he's been my next-door neighbor for, well, I say 17 years. He says 16 years. He doesn't know how long he lived next to us. But and let me tell you, it's a real privilege to be able to have been able to not just call him a neighbor, but to have him as a friend and have his wife and all the girls with us. It's to see a man live out day in and day out what he practices on Sunday morning and see it in his life every day. You know, words do speak louder than actions, or actions do speak louder than words, and he certainly has lived that, and it's been a real pleasure. So I'm honored to be able to introduce our brother, our neighbor, Chick Holt. Charles, come on up.
Hear me? Yeah, thanks. Good morning, everybody. Lord bless you, and thank you, Emilio. I'll pay you later. And it's always amazes me. You know, I might as well throw part of my notes away because you shared my introduction and then the scriptures. So did you sneak into my home last night? But no, praise God. It's good to be able to share with you. I haven't had not shared a Mother's Day message in a long time. So I thought a little bit about that over the last couple of weeks. And as Emilio said, with Anna Jarvis and her wanting to observe mothers, and it came about a little bit from her own mom, who in the mid-1800s, 1876 or so, wanted to always, because of the war dead from the Civil War, her mom wanted to always honor the moms of sons lost. And that message of her mom continued on in her life, and later on she would, as Emilio said, help to constitute the National Mother's Day, which is the second Sunday in May, and instituted in 1914 by our president, Woodrow Wilson. And it's quite an honor, and you know, what can I say about mothers? I mean, moms, you could say a whole lot more than I could, because you've been in the battlefield. I've been on the other side. I gave my mom fits. And, you know, I've always thought over the years, as I have matured some, how she endured me. She had three sons and two daughters. And not that the other four were angels, but I kind of gave her more fits than I think the other four. But she still loved me. And I gave her big hugs and kisses every time I saw her in the latter years, especially. Abe Lincoln once said, "He is not poor who has a godly mother. Indebted, yes, but not poor." If you have a godly mom, and maybe some of the young kids as I look out here today, looks like most of them, some of them have gone, indebted to your mom for being a godly person. A mother who seeks after God, who searches out the things of God. And the songs we have been singing this morning, it reminds me so much. It reminded me so much of a mother's love and where she draws her strength from. They smile as you leave the house, only to lay awake at night until they hear you enter the door and know that you are home. Right, moms? I mean, I'm a dad, so I'm a little bit on the other side of the coin, but I'm a little bit like that too. But, you know, moms lay awake. They wait for see the car lights come in the driveway and the door to be open. Doris and I always told our girls, we do not care what time it is. Speak to us. I do not mind being woken up by my child. And moms, I know you're the same. One of the classic songs from years ago by Jimmy Dean. Now, young people probably never heard of Jimmy Dean, but some of you have. And there was a song he sang. It was entitled "I Owe." And he came about that song from a list of IOUs that he had to his mom. And when he went through the list, he saw that the list was endless. From being a night watchman, always watching out for him. From being chef and baker, things we take for granted that mums do. Make the meals, have the goodies ready. When you come home from school or when you come home from work, there they are. The cleaning and laundry specialist. Imagine what it would look like if mums didn't take care of that. My house would be a shambles. I'd probably be broke because I would probably go buy clothes instead of washing them. She's your bodyguard against the fears of the things in the night. The counselor, one who's willing to sit beside you and listen to your situations and your problems without judgment. She's a medical and healing expert. Mums know how to make things better. They know how to make things right. They know how to make a young son or a young daughter feel loved and get that attention and that soothing and that touch upon their life that they need. They are the cement of the family. They're the foundation which makes the family go. Whether we like to admit it or not, gentlemen, dads, mums make the family go. And he sang that song, and it's not so much that he sang, it was more he just spoke the words to the lyrics to some music. And it's a very touching song from many, many years ago about his mom and the IOUs he had for her. Scripture has some things to say about mothers and motherhood and the godly influence that moms have on their children. And President Lincoln was right. If you have a godly mom, you're not poor. You're rich. I grew up in a family where God was not evident. Good people, good hearts, did well, did many good things, but never had a godly influence. But yet somehow, mom got through to me. Mothers are the catalysts of the home. Catalysts, Webster defines catalyst as this, the substance that produces change. And that's what mums are. I had a friend tell me one time he was away from home and he came back and it was late at night. And so he didn't want to disturb anybody, so he came in quietly, didn't put the lights on or anything, went in the bedroom, threw his jacket and took his clothes off, got ready to get in bed, and went to go in bed, and poof, right on the floor, because his wife had changed the room. So the bed was no longer where it used to be. But that's what mums do. They change things. They move things around. The catalyst within the home. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 21, it says, the boy Samuel grew before the Lord. And here's the secret of that. The secret of a young person growing in God and before God is mom. Especially in this case, because Hannah was without child. She couldn't have children. But her goal always was to seek God, to be in the temple, praying, seeking God, searching out the heart of God. And the secret in 1 Samuel, again, in chapter 1 and verse 28, it says this about her son. Now, sometimes I think we just read over Scripture too lightly. You know, it becomes almost commonplace to us sometimes. We forget that it is the Word of God. It is nourishment for us and for our hearts, and especially for mums. And in verse 28, it says this, so I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to God. And what I read in there is this also, at the first part of that, so I also dedicated him to the Lord. Meaning she was dedicated to God. If our moms, if your children need anything in life, They need to know that you are dedicated to God, committed to God, not ashamed of who God is in your life, not ashamed of hearing your children, having your children hear you pray and call out their name before God. Oh, they might give you a hard time. Your children are going to give you a hard time every now and then. Trust me. You ask my mother, if she was here, she'd tell you. That boy gave me a hard time, but he was a good boy. And God did some things in his life. And if you're committed, dedicated also to God, then you can say, as Hannah says, and he, as long as he lives, he is dedicated to God. And after his birth, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. Hannah made a commitment of herself and her son to God. And that consistent example of godliness was always there for Samuel to witness. You're not going to be perfect. Any perfect mothers in here? None. But what our children need to see is honesty and a willingness to say, I've made a mistake. But before Hannah would leave the temple, when her husband came to get her, she says, no, I'm staying until he's weaned. So she stayed at that place to make sure her son was getting everything he could get from God. And that isn't that the case of you moms? To get everything for your son or your daughter that God can give to them. That's your desire. I know, like, it is your heart's desire to know that they be blessed by God. And Hannah said, he will serve God. He is dedicated to the Lord as long as he lives. She's the catalyst of the home. She makes things work. She's also a peacemaker. I grew up with a younger brother, a couple years younger than I. And we didn't always, we get along real well. And he's very close to me. But you know, as brothers go, there are things that happen once in a while. And every now and then there would be a skirmish, so to speak. But Mom was always there to bring the message, to be the peacemaker. In 1 Samuel chapter 25, verses 18 through 25, it's the story of Abigail and how she interceded and humbled herself before David and basically turned war into peace. Because David had sent his men to see Nabal and wanted his sheep to be sheared and wanted part of the shearing process. And Nabal said, who does David think he is? I don't care who David is. And so his men came back and told David the situation, and David said, okay, draw your swords. We're going to battle. And when Abigail heard about that, she says, I have to do something about this. Now I'm paraphrasing all this from that portion of scripture, but you read it. It's there. And she met David. She went and she met him. And she humbled herself before David and pleaded with him not to wage battle. My husband, Nabal, he didn't want anything to do with your servants and mistreated them poorly, but I have not. And David was very humbled by her, and he called off the attack because of what she did. And you have to be that sometimes, don't you, Mom? You have to be the referee. You have to be the one that comes in between sons and daughters or brothers. You have to come in and you have to referee. You have to discipline. You have to explain. And sometimes it's not going to be favorable to them for what you've done. Not everything you do as a mother is going to find pleasure in your child's heart. Yeah, she understands. I wish it was true. I wish we could say everything I do, my son's daughter's going to be blessed by it, but that's not going to be the case. Sometimes you have to be the referee, step in and say, this is the way it is. And I remember my mom stepping in with my brother and I on occasion. Now, my brother, like I said, my brother and I get along real well. It wasn't all that bad. But Mom was the peacemaker. Abigail was as good as Nabal was bad. She was the opposite of that man. He was arrogant and rude. She was gracious and kind and humble. And she was the peacemaker. Mothers also need to be women of prayer. How many of you moms believe that? There was a couple of you. If there is one thing that will get you on your knees, it is your children. And it doesn't matter that they've turned 21 and leave the house. I mean, it's nice that they leave the house, but they'll be back. As Hannah was praying to the Lord, Eli the priest noticed something peculiar about her prayer time. Her lips were moving, but no words were coming forth. And so he thought she was drunk. Lips moving, but no words. And he said something to her, and she says this to him in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 15. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. That dedication that she had brought about the blessing of a son, Samuel, because I have asked him of the Lord. She poured her heart out. You ever pour out your heart? I mean, I'm not talking about little whimsy, pansy little prayers that we sometimes do. I mean, really pouring out your heart, your soul to God, crying out to Him on behalf of your child. You know, every day, Doris and I, we pray for the kids. We pray for all the kids and church and people within the church and you know, and sometimes I'm riding down the road. I drive a lot, so I have a lot of time to myself. And as I'm traveling, I wonder to myself, you know, did I pray enough? And sometimes I stop at a rest area and I just take some time and pray and ask God to bless the kids. You know, to wake you up in the middle of the night. Why does God wake you up in the middle of the night with your child on your heart? I believe He wants you to take time and pray for them. They need you. They need Our children need moms that will pour out their soul to God on their behalf. It doesn't get any better than that. I mean, that's the most precious thing we have, or that you have as mothers, is your sons and your daughters. Now, I have friends, and I'm sure you do too, and this might even be your case, where something has happened within the family structure. And there's no communication between son and mom or daughter and mom. I just heard from a friend the other day that that's the situation. And how sad that is. Pour out your heart before God on behalf of your children. Always leave the door open. God loves us unconditionally. So should you as moms, especially moms today. I'm kind of blending the family thing in here, but as moms, to pour out that heart as Hannah did before God. Yeah, there might not have been any words coming forth, but her heart was pouring out to God. And God saw that. And when she said that to Eli, he said, "You're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed. What you want, what your desire of your heart for to have a child, to be with the child, is going to happen." Napoleon once said, "Let France have great mothers, and France will have great sons." How important it is for moms to grasp that. 1 Samuel 1 and verse 27, Hannah speaking, she says these words, "For this boy I have prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him." Because she poured out She poured out. She poured out. She stayed with it. She did not give up. She didn't lessen anything. She gave it her all for her son. And God honored that, the petition of her heart, and gave her her son. And we know what a great man he became. Why? Because mom, the heart of a mother, she is a woman of prayer. She is a woman of faith. In Matthew chapter 15, we have the story of the Canaanite woman who seeks Jesus for the healing of her daughter who was demon-possessed. She took the rejection, she took the rebuke, but she never wavered in determination. You can read that in Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 21, 28. And she came to the disciples. They didn't do anything for her. Is that a time to give up, mums? I don't think so. She was persistent. She kept at it. And finally she came to Jesus and even had a rebuke from him. And basically Jesus says, okay, I'll tell you what. The crumbs from the table. I'll give you a little something. Oh, that's good enough, she said. And because of her faith, it says, O woman, in verse 28, Jesus says to her, O woman, your faith is great. Be it done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once, or at that very hour. Persistent in prayer, in faith, gathering in to the heart of Jesus that which your child needs. Never letting go, never giving up. It's not always easy sometimes. You know, you're getting ready for church and, you know, you're running behind and you want to get to church and little Johnny or Susie is not cooperating the way they should. And you reach down and place your hands on their shoulders, you know, about where the neck is. And you say, honey, it's getting late. Sunday school is going to start in a few minutes. We need to get to church to hear about the love of Jesus. It's not always easy. You ever come to church on Sunday morning and had a moment like that before you got here? I used to hide my shoes. Can't go, Dad. I can't go, Mom. I can't find my shoes. You better find them, boy. She would not give up on her children, no matter what the situation was in her life. She was demon-possessed, cruelly demon-possessed. I don't know about you, but that sounds awful bad to me. But this mother would not take no for an answer. She wouldn't take no from the deacon board. She wouldn't take the small rebuke from Jesus. She just hung on. And Jesus said, your faith is great, lady. Your daughter is healed. Moms go through many things like that with their children. And I don't think there's anything more fiery than a mother when she's fired up. But I've told you this before. Many years ago, I served in the Marine Corps in Vietnam. And it's not like today. There's no email. you get a letter every 3 or 4 weeks. You were lucky. It was different. Different time, different era. Same type of situation. Two Marines came to my home. They were my mom saw them, and she got all in a panic. See two Marines coming up the driveway to your door. That's a message of hurt and pain coming at you. They knocked on the door, and my mom, from what I was told later on. She was shaking, and she answered the door, and they said, "Hi, Mrs. Holt." She said, "Yes, yes, we're so-and-so and such from whatever battalion. And we were wondering if you knew a fellow by the name of Hank Philbrick. He's a friend of your son's, and he's AWOL, and we're trying to locate him." She about killed those two Marines. They couldn't wait to leave. They were scurrying down the dirt driveway. And from what I heard, she said, "Don't you ever do that to me again." Sometimes it's not easy being a mom. You're going to have those moments when things come your way. Some of them true, some of them not. Where your reliance upon God is going to be all that you have. As the songs we sung earlier about drawing strength, He's our strength, our shield. Sophia Loren, an actress from many years ago that some of you might remember, said this about being a mother. "When you are a mother, you are never alone in your thoughts. A mother always has to think twice, once for herself and once for her child." She's a woman of faith who will not give up. She has that peacemaker spirit. She's what makes the changes in the home take place. She's a woman of prayer. But she also has a message to instill to her children. A message of hope, a message of endurance, of toughness, of unconditional love, of sacrifice. Who sacrifices more than a mom? Mother went to a psychologist one day, and went to share his situations in her life. And after the meeting, he says, "Okay, so 50% of your time is taken up with work. 50% of your time is taken up with your husband. 50% of your time is taken up with your children. I think I see the problem." Who has more to deal with than a mother? We had some friends, when they were married, they thought, "Okay, we're going to have a child. We're going to keep probably a one." They had 12. What do you do with 12 kids? You're a saint. We used to see them coming down the road in the van, little heads bobbing in the windows. Who has more to do or more responsibility than a mother? Someone once said that giving birth is not the hard part. It's raising them that's the hard part. Now, if you're 9 months pregnant, you might debate that. She instills the message about patience and long-suffering. She has and exhibits a godly reverence toward God. And if I can repeat some of the verses that Emilio spoke on this morning, Proverbs 31:30. "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." She shall be praised, and mostly by her children, because they'll rise up and call her blessed. Proverbs 31 and verse 20. "She extends her hand to the poor and stretches out her hands to the needy." There's something about a mom that is caring and giving and concerned about that which is needful. I don't know how it is in your household, but in my home, there was always kids there. So my mom always had extra multitude to feed or take care of. And some of the kids that came to our home, and we were downright poor. For some reason, they found some peace at our home because of Mom. She'd make things, she'd present things on the table, she'd cook, she'd do this and that. They reached her hand out, stretches her hands out to the needy, to those in need, to those that are in want. Because there's always someone that's in want. There's always someone more needy than you or I. And moms see that more than anyone, I think. In verse 25 of Proverbs 31, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. A mother is forever imparting a message for her family. She has a view to the future for her children, a hope that her kids, that her son, that her daughter, they're going to do well. They're going to be blessed. They're going to achieve. They're going to be all that God can be. One songwriter put it this way: my mom is a never-ending song in my heart of comfort, happiness, and being. I may sometimes forget the words, but I will always remember the tune. I don't know all that my mom spoke to me, but I remember the tune of her heart. I remember the tune of her spirit. And we didn't have much. We were, farmers and didn't have much. But what she had, she gave. And I remember that kindness, that goodness. And she went through a lot. As I look back, sometimes I wish I could go back and repair things. You can't. She loved me, and I loved her. There was no problem there. It's just that as a young boy, as a young man, I caused her a few fits, as she says, or said. She is the catalyst, the peacemaker, the prayer warrior, the one strong in faith, and always the message of love for her children and her family. That's who you are, moms. You're many things. And you're all those things. You've got the greatest ministry in the world. There is none finer. Loving your children, taking care of your children, disciplining your children. They may not always be your friends. There may be those moments where they do not like you and you might not like them. But always have that heart open to them and seek God on their behalf and allow our God, who is able to do above and beyond what you and I think, that he might bless you richly and also bless your children. Never let go of what God's given to you. And as Hannah did, pour out your heart and soul before the Lord on behalf of your children. Praise God. We're going to take just a moment to pray. We do have a small, some carnations and some a gift for you that the kids are going to help us hand out in just a minute. But I'd like to just have all the moms stand again. I know we had you up front, but I just need the moms to stand. And if your mom is standing next to you, I want you to stand next to her. Okay? And if you're next to a mom and there's not one there, just stand next to them. Praise God. We're going to have a closing prayer and ask God's blessing upon this day, especially this day because it's Mother's Day. Think of the importance that God has brought to you by being a mother. You help make the world shine because you bless your children, you raise your children, you love your kids. Pour out your heart and soul before God on their behalf and see what God might do with them and through them. Praise God. Father, we thank you today for all of your goodness. We are grateful today that we can be here today and celebrate this special day, Mother's Day. And God, may each mom here today realize and understand within their heart and spirit that you love them. God, that you want to do a work in their life and continue to do a work in their life as they raise their kids. May their children see in their moms the beauty and the glory of God. May they see the witness and the testimony of a godly mom, of a godly parent. And we are thankful today, God, for each mom that's here. May your hand be upon them and bless them and keep them and use them for your glory. May you strengthen them in heart and spirit. And when those difficult times come, may you just raise them up in the things of God as they read the word and as they study God and as they seek out God. Even though there may not be any words coming from their lips may be moving, but their hearts are speaking loud, God, as they cry out to you. Bless them. Use them for your glory. May they know they are loved by their children, by their families, by their church, by their God. Moms make a difference. Moms make a difference, God, as they seek you and as they find you. I pray, God, your blessing upon them. Anoint them with your goodness and your grace. And we give you praise, glory, and honor. And it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Listen, moms, enjoy your day. Let the kids spend all the money on you that they want. But as you leave today, there's going to be some volunteers we have at both doors. We have a couple of small gifts for you to bless you. And please know that you are loved by God and you make a difference. God bless you. Enjoy your day.
On my own, now that I am seen.